All right, so we're looking at the triumphal entry. Verse 37, Luke chapter 19, Bible says, when he came near, talking about Jesus, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God and in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King, say King, would you?
King.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, like Diego did as he walked up here this morning, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, and we... Lord, we recognize you coming into our lives, Lord. We ask that you would come. I ask, Lord, that there are some here today, Lord, that would make that change, that would seek, Lord, a transformation in their lives that comes from you. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Yes. Leanne and I were driving around yesterday in her car. We did the play practice. She was actually asked to lead worship at another church, so that's where she is at. But we were driving around, and she says, Dad, I really like my BMW. And I said, well, it's a nice car. It's a 1994 535i BMW. It is a nice car. I drove it today. It's a nice car. It has this one problem. The problem is it has a tendency to crack the head. Now, some of you might or might not know what that entails, but as the head is cracked, that means that Joe, my son and I, the drummer, we go into repair mode. And it takes us about 10 hours to pull that head off, take it down to the machine shop, get it repaired at a cost of $500, and then go get it nice and shiny, slap that baby back on. And she says, but it's such a nice car, Dad. I said, oh, yeah, but you just get it fixed. Joe and I have to do the repair. So you like it a whole lot more than Joe and I do. And it's nice when somebody just come in and fix your stuff. Amen?
Amen.
And he's like, hey, yeah, come on in. Fix my stuff. I like it. Let's just keep things the way they are. I just need a fix. And that's what we're talking about today. Jesus can fix anything. We're talking about Palm Sunday, and we're talking about a celebration as people come in and they are putting the palm branches up and they are doing putting out the red carpet treatment for Jesus. Here he comes. Because he is a miracle worker. I mean, he casts out demons. I tell you what. You got a demon, you got a problem. Can I get a witness on that?
Yes.
You know, he caused the lame to walk. Back in the day, you were lame, you had a problem. Amen?
Yes.
He restored sight to the blind. He cleansed the lepers. You were a leper back in the day, you had a problem. Amen? And you know, Jesus fed the 5,000 with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus raised the dead. And you start thinking, man, that's a list. Jesus can do all this stuff. Man, you start thinking what Jesus could do, what Jesus might be able to do for me. Jesus can fix anything. We're going to take a look at that today. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Let's take a look and we'll go through these verses that we read. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all that. And that was the miracles. You know, and he just shouting out those miracles, shouting out just that shopping list of all the stuff that Jesus had done in loud voices. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he's getting a warm reception. Would you say? Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, Matthew has, I got some other verses here, "Hosanna to the Son of David." John has, "Hosanna to the King of Israel." And these were all phrases that referred to the Messiah. And the people were waiting in great expectation for a Messiah. And they had saw Jesus, Daniel had prophesied 500 years before about the coming Messiah that was coming. And the wise men came because of all the prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus was fulfilling. So all these prophecies are all lining up to this time. So it was the right time for the Messiah. And Jesus had been doing all the things that Messiah would do. And the people were waving those branches and throwing their coats down on the ground because they were looking for a Savior. Amen? A Savior that would kick the Romans right out of Israel. Because it was armed occupation. I mean, it'd be like, Red Dawn. I haven't seen the new one, but the old one, you know, where you got Russians come in and they got AK-47s all over the United States. Well, they had swords, right? And they would kill you. They would kill you as soon as they had a look at you. And so the Messiah was going to come and he was going to be that was on the list of stuff that they wanted Jesus to fix. That was on the list of stuff that they wanted the Savior to fix. Get rid of these Romans. And they're going, "Come on, Jesus. You can hook us up." Everybody was happy, except little Diego, the Pharisee. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Everybody's happy, but the Pharisees are not so happy. Why? Because the Pharisees are not buying what Jesus has. They realize all these phrases. They realize that these people are attributing, or they're believing that Jesus is the Messiah, and they totally believe that Jesus is ripping them off. They totally believe that Jesus has taken advantage of them, and they stepped in to make things right. Jesus, tell your people to correct this. You know, step in and make a correction. Rebuke your disciples. They are going down the wrong road. And Jesus says, "Hey, the rocks will cry." You ever heard the phrase, "dumb as a rock"? I'll tell you what, the Pharisees were dumber than rocks that day. Amen? You know, if there was anybody that should have got a grip on who Jesus was, it was the Pharisees. These guys were sold out. They were in the Word all the time. But in their fervor, in their excitement for the things of God, they missed the person of God. They're kind of like my dog, Gabe. Gabe is not doing real well. But Gabe is a Maltese Shih Tzu, right? Hardly a hunting dog or a tracking dog or, you know, any type of dog that really has any type of skills. All he does is just sit there, you know, and jump around and be cute and jump on your lap. Yeah, that's what he sounds like, that little boy. Just, And, you know, sometimes even I'll be nice to Gabe. You know, I'll have like a little piece of meat or something like that. And I'll go, Gabe, you want something to eat, man? And he knows, you know, he just knows. And he comes running. You know, and here he comes and he is dancing around going, give me the treat. You know, and I just take it and just toss it right down there to him. And I mean, I kid you not, it'll go right in front of his face, bounce, hit him in the chest sometimes. And he's looking at me going, where is it? Going, it's right there. And he's dancing around. I'm going, it's right there. And I point at it. All I can see is my hand. You know, what are you doing? No, it's right there. Finally, in exasperation, it's whatever, man. That is what was going on with the Pharisees. They're all excited about the things of God. So excited that they miss Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Point number two. They were missing God's plan. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept. Kind of a disconnect there. Get what I'm saying? He wept over it and he said, if you, even you, you know, kind of put some emphasis on there, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now, it is hidden from your eyes. Pharisees weren't happy. Jesus wasn't happy. Why? Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. He had just been given the red carpet treatment. Everybody else is happy. Tried to capture that in our play, you know, jumping up and down, you know, shout Hosanna, everybody's just stoked, and Jesus is weeping. Why is that? Because in our excitement and in their excitement, just like our dog, sometimes we can miss the truth. Jesus reads their hearts, and in the midst of their excitement, they're missing him. Their acceptance of Jesus was only skin deep. The people were just looking for a fix. And Jesus is about more than a fix. Amen? Back in chapter 13, we're in chapter 19. We rewind a little bit. Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets. The prophets did what? Brought God's word. And stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks. But you were not willing. Just looking for a fix. See, Jesus about more. Jesus about change. People didn't want change. People just wanted a fix. Because we're looking for a quick fix, we often miss the change that we need. Like Leanne said, let's just keep the BMW. Oh, no. We're going for a change. All kinds of drama comes at you when you miss what Jesus has for you. Jesus has stuff. There is stuff coming at you. He is saying, let me just see what he's saying. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, will encircle you and hem you in on every side. That's not good. I mean, if you're walking down University Avenue and you got hemmed in on every side by your enemies, that's not good. Amen? I mean, that does not end up good. This does not end up good. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Rejecting God has consequences. Jesus says, you don't know what's coming your way, but I do. And there is stuff that is coming your way that Jesus would prepare you for. God has a rule book. God has a guidebook for your life that will enable you to stand in the midst of challenge. Have you found this to be true? If you look for a quick fix, if you look for the quick answers, it's not in the book. The deep down whole life change, that's in the book. And when you go to whole life change, that's when you're going to be able to stand in the face of your challenge. Have you found this to be true?
Yes.
How many of you found, oh yeah, Jesus is just a quick fix, man. I just need some stuff come. Jesus fixed me. I found that, see, that's what the people were looking for. And he said, there is such massive stuff headed your way. You don't even realize. Now they missed Jesus. They missed avenues to bypass this stuff that actually hit them in 70 AD. There was a time of political upheaval in Rome where they went through 3 Caesars in 15 months. And because of all that political unrest in Rome, there was all kinds of freedom out in the territories. And the zealots, who were the fired up guys, they were the military kind of guys, they were kind of terrorist kind of guys, that they said, this is when we're going to push the Romans out. And they pushed the Romans out. About 66, 67 AD. Jesus was crucified about 33 AD. So about 30 years later, Jesus says, hey, there's coming a day. And so the Romans got The Romans got a little bit mad. Kind of like them guys up on University Avenue, might do. And they sent three legions. Vespasian became Caesar, and Titus was his son, who eventually became Caesar as well. Vespasian was Caesar for 10 years, and he sent Titus down there with three legions, and he had a plan. It was during Passover. Passover is when everybody comes to Jerusalem and said, oh, that's fine, just come on in, come on in, come on in. And what they did was he let the population of Jerusalem swell with all these tourists, all these pilgrims that were coming to Jerusalem for Passover, because he knew that they would eat all the food and drink all the water, and they would have a big problem. He let them all in, and he wouldn't let them leave. And he began to attack the place, and he hemmed them in. He laid siege to them, and they ran out of food, and they ran out of water, and they finally destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. They killed over a million Jews. That's a lot of Jews. Amen? They took 100,000 slaves, and they put them to work in the galleys and all that kind of stuff. They put them in the arena to be killed for sport. Jesus said, they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. There's stuff coming your way. There is stuff coming your way that will cause you to be dashed to the ground, that will cause you to crumble. And if you are here this morning looking for a quick fix, you will not be able to stand as that challenge comes your way. How many of you have had challenges come your way that previously in your life would have just caused you to crumble and you were able to stand because of the strength of the Lord? Amen? I'll tell you what, He will equip you so that you are able to stand. Amen? All right. Point number three, the Lord makes changes. If you're here for a fix, probably not going to happen. Then he entered the temple area, and he began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said, my house will be a house of prayer. And Jesus stands for truth. Jesus comes into the temple area, and they are changing money. They are selling the sacrifices. They have basically made God's temple, God's house, into a market. Jesus says, it is written. And I want to let you know that God has a standard today. And it is a standard that you can base your life on. It is a standard that you can line up on that will take you through the challenges that you have. And Jesus says, it is written that my Father's house will be a house of prayer. Amen? And he goes in there, and he uses what is written, and it shows the Jews how far they have drifted off track. And that is the cool thing about having a standard. There is a standard by which you can live your life, and as you begin to have your own standard, and that's what we have a struggle with Jesus with, because oftentimes we'd like to make our own standards. You know what I'm talking about? And if you make your own standards, they can just kind of flow along the way. But Jesus says, it's written. And I know how far you've strayed off track. I know the problems that are being created in your lives because you have not adhered to the standard of my Father. And the Jews were off track. Jesus had already did this once. Go back to the beginning of his ministry, back 3 years earlier. John chapter 2, right at the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves. That's what they would use for sacrifices. Now, a farmer could bring his own cattle, sheep, and doves. But, you know, the priest would always find a... Oh, that was no good. But I got one, I'll sell you. Already pre-approved. And it was a scam. And Jesus knew. He goes, man, you're turning my Father's house into a con game. We're not playing that. So he made a whip out of cords, and he drove them from the temple area. And if you read on in the Gospel of John, say, who gives you authority to do that? He says, I got the authority to do this. And in just a short period of time, they were already doing it again. They become liable to destruction. Why? Because there's stuff that God will point out in your life that needs to change. You say, oh, yeah, Lord, I'm all about change. I'm all ready for a transformation in my life. And just a short period of time later, doing it all again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible says that as a dog returns to its vomit, so we turn back to our sin. And that's what was happening with the Jews. He said, my Father's house is going to be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of robbers. Jesus is holding up the truth, and the problem with the truth in our lives is that the truth exposes the lie. And so often it is easier to live a lie than it is to live a truth. Amen? It's just more convenient. We don't have to make that change. We can just go from fix to fix to fix. I just need a little fix here. Jesus says, fix isn't going to work. You need transformation in your life. You need change. He says, you have made it into a den of robbers. That's a terrible thing, right? Robbing in the church? That's not the real problem, though. I mean, robbing is bad, especially in the church. And there are some that are out there that are doing it. The problem is the distance involved. You say, what are you talking about? See, the thing is, you have made it. You have made it into something else other than what my Father had intended. My Father's house will be a house of prayer. My Father's house will be a place where you talk to God and where He talks to you and where transformation happens, but you've made it into something else. And whenever you make it, there is a distance between what God had intended and what you're doing, and that distance is what makes you liable to destruction. Jesus came for change, but people don't want change. People just want to fix. Where are you at today? What do you want from God today? You see, you want to come up here? You see, the Lord would come into your life for much more than a fix. Do you come in here today and you want a fix or do you want change? Do you want your life to be transformed? My life needed to be transformed from the ground up. Because I would think I was doing good and all of a sudden collapse. And as I have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have had to make wholesale change in my life. And as the challenges of life come, I'm able to stand. How about you? Why are you here today? Jesus went into Jerusalem to go to the cross, so that you might be transformed in your life. So that as the challenges come, you will be able to stand. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that on this Palm Sunday, Lord, that we're looking for something more than just a fix. That we're willing, Lord, that we come to an understanding, Lord, that we are messed up. That we are broken people in need of wholesale change. Maybe some are here today going, oh, that's what it has been. Jesus is about more than just a fix, more than just a quick little touch up. Jesus is about transformation. And you come in here this morning and you've had enough collapse. You had enough making God's house into something else, making your own life into a mess. And this morning, as the Lord would speak to your heart, He would say, I want to make a change. Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to be transformed? Are you ready to line up on God's standard? Are you ready to get into His Word and be guided by His Spirit? Nobody looking around this morning, and the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart, and He is saying, welcome me in. Give me the red carpet this morning. Now you know what I want to do in your life. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, Lord, that you just begin to touch people's minds and souls and let them see, Lord, the transformation that is available right now. The path that you would take them on, the direction that you would lead them. Not a quick fix, but a wholesale change with nobody looking around. The Lord's saying, I want to change you. You're saying, Lord, I get it. I'm ready. I want to be changed. Nobody looking around. Before we raised our hands, said, oh, Lord, here you come. Come and touch us, Lord. He's doing that thing in us earlier, and right now he's doing a thing in you. And he's saying, I want to transform your life. I want to transform your situation. And I need you to welcome me in. You want to welcome the Lord into your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand this morning and say, Lord, no more quick fixes. I'm ready for change. Hand over here and here and here and here. You're here this morning saying, right now, Lord, I am ready. Nothing quick. I'm ready for wholesale change in my life. You didn't put your hand up before, but you're saying, Lord, I hear you, and I'm ready for that. Anybody else, just put their hand up here, here, and there. I'm going to sing this song. You want the Lord to change you. You want that Lord to just, the Lord to just come and make that transformation in your life. These are going to begin to sing, and just right now as you do that, take some effort on your part. I want you to just stand where you're at. You raised your hand earlier. That next step, I want you to stand up, put both hands up and say, here I am, Lord. Just sing that song, change my heart. You put your hand up, I just want you to just stand and just raise your hands up. If you're unable to stand, your legs are broke, put your hands up. But if you're able to stand, I want you to stand to your feet. You put your hand up earlier, put your hand up, and I want you to just make this a prayer as we sing this song. Hallelujah.